2 Samuel chapter 12. Let's stand together. We're going to read several verses here. And then we'll be seated. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, and which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I appointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And looking back at verse number 4, the Bible says there came a traveler. There came a traveler. And I want to preach this morning on the traveler. Let's pray. God, would you bless the message this morning? Would you use it, Lord, to convict us? Would you use it to help us? Would you use it maybe to spare someone this morning who has had a visit from the traveler lately? God, I pray that each teenager will listen, each adult will listen, and I pray, Lord, that you will use the message to help us today. God, we pray if somebody's lost today that they'll be saved, that they'll realize they need to be saved and be willing to accept Christ here in just a little while. Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do, and we'll ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You can keep your Bible open there. This is the story of David and Bathsheba, kind of the follow-up story in chapter 12 to what happened in chapter number 11. And many of you know the story of Bathsheba and David. And Bathsheba was married to Uriah, one of David's men, one of David's soldiers, one of his mighty men. And while Uriah was off at battle, David lusted after Bathsheba, wound up committing adultery with her, getting her pregnant. And in order to hide his sin, David had her husband killed in the battle. But here's a simple fact. The bottom line, teenagers and adults, we can hide our sin maybe from others, but we cannot hide that sin from God. And so God sent Nathan, the preacher, the man of God, to put his finger in the face of David and begin to preach to David. Now here is David, as we read about him through the Bible, a man after God's own heart. Here's a man that was chosen and exalted by God to the throne of Israel. Here's a man with a tender heart who the Bible says did his best to serve his generation. The city of Jerusalem in Israel is called the city of David. Jesus himself in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew's genealogy, Jesus is called the son of David. Scripture tells us that one day, after the rapture and the tribulation period, when Christ comes to set his kingdom up here on earth, that Jesus will rule and reign here on earth, and he will set that throne up. He will sit upon the throne of his father David. David is mentioned in Hebrews chapter number 11, which we call the Hall of Faith, where some of the more familiar people in the Bible are listed. But yet for as great of a man as David was, and for great, as great of a name as he had, and for as great of a life as he lived, even King David was still flesh, just like you and I. May I say to you this morning, no one in this room is above sin. No one in this room is beyond falling. No one in this room is immune from the fiery darts of the wicked. Yep. Someone once said, what a wicked mind can conceive, a wicked body can achieve. I like this. The preacher said this years ago. First, sin thrills, and then it kills. First, sin fascinates, and then it assassinates. We get excited about the possibility of something that we know is wrong in our life. But may I say to you that one bad night changed David, and oh yeah, changed his family forever. Yeah. My wife and I were reading a crazy statistic the other day. This just came to mind. I think it can go here with this. She said, you're not going to believe this. You know, a lot of people have that bariatric surgery, I think they call it. They get that belt put on them and whatever. I'd probably break the belt. But I'm not against that. I'm not a medical doctor. If that's your thing, that's great. But she was reading me a statistic. She said, you wouldn't believe this. 80 to 85% of marriages where bariatric surgery is involved end in divorce. Within 2 years. Man, that ought to make you think twice before you go get that thing wrapped around you. Why does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. Now all of a sudden we're... I watched a young man in Bible college, went to Bible college with me. He was a chunky little boy. Some of you remember him. He was a chunky little boy. Good kid, good preacher. But he went to Bible college and started growing some whiskers and became a young man. And then he started losing weight. Looked good, looked sharp, but it went to his mind. And I want to begin to tell you what trouble he got himself into after Bible college. And so I'm saying to you, it shocked me when we were reading that we know a lot of people who've had that surgery, and that's great, and that's wonderful. That's the thing to do. But I think what it is we're so used to ourselves, then we start getting, hey, and if we're not careful, someone else starts telling us, hey, you're looking good. And guess what happens? The traveler comes along. I don't know why I'm saying that today. I know there's several in our church that are on a diet. That's wonderful. I've been on a diet for a couple of weeks. Lost a few pounds. Plan on gaining them back today at lunchtime. One bad night. Young person, one bad choice. One bad choice. I'm 47. I'll be 48 here in a couple of months. And if you're in your 40s and 50s in here, I think we'd all shout amen that they didn't have social media in the 80s and the 90s. Oh, man. And I try to warn young people that what you're putting on there, one day an employer or a college, they're going to go back and they're going to read that. They're going to want to know a little bit more about you. And one bad choice. Certainly God forgave David. Thank God for that. But even though God forgave David for that sin, David never could forget the price that he paid for his sin. He made this statement in Psalm 51. He said, my sin is ever before me. Not only in your mind, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I made that choice. But if you know the history of David's family, Psalm 51, he said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He lost the joy of being saved. He locked up when he came to church, if you will. Not only that, but David and Bathsheba lost a baby, didn't they? Now, thank God for his grace, thank God for his mercy, because it was that same David and Bathsheba that produced Solomon. When they get right with God, but they produced Solomon, the next king of Israel. But do you want to lose a child over your sin? Oh, it gets worse. I mean, it gets like Jerry Springer, white trash, worse in the family of David. One son raped his own sister. One son killed another son. He killed the son that had raped the sister. Two sons tried to steal their father's throne. And I'm just simply saying to you this morning, what a mess that sin leaves behind. It is true, and I know these are old cliche, but we might want to perk up and start paying attention to some old cliche. By the way, folks, listen, wake up! Some of you only come Sunday morning and you're not even getting anything today because you're sleeping. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you thought you'd pay. And sin will cost those around you more than they should have to pay. So where did all this come from in David's life? The man after God's own heart. If you're there in 2 Samuel 12, I want to show you today, it was all a result of the traveler. Chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. All right, so God is upset. And so he sends the man of God, Nathan, to go and preach to David. By the way, this was one-on-one preaching right here. And I don't believe he was doing counseling and trying to make him feel better and massage his shoulders. I believe the man of God went up right up to David and said, David, let me tell you a story. There was a rich man and there was a poor man. And this poor man raised up a lamb, this little lamb. And this rich man basically took the little lamb from the poor man. And David said, who did that? I can't believe somebody do something like that. Who is that person? He'll pay the price. And Nathan said, you're the man. You had everything you wanted. God blessed your life. By the way, unless you're blind and you're in the will of God, God is blessing your life. But the devil points out, like he did in the Garden of Eden, what we're not getting. And so the man of God said, look at all that God's done in your life, but yet you go and you take this man's wife and you commit adultery with her, and then you hide it by murder, by having that man killed. God's upset. And so in order to give that illustration, he uses it as, there's this man that needed to be fed. And so instead of the rich man taking it from his own refrigerator, he goes and takes this one lamb that this poor man had. So the point of the message is this. I would submit to you this morning that the story that we're reading here in chapter 12 would have never been told if the traveler had not shown up at the rich man's house. He would have never had to go to the poor man, or made the choice to go to the poor man's house and rob him of his precious lamb. But because the traveler showed up, and I believe that same traveler, not only did he show up at David's house, I believe that same traveler shows up at our house. I believe that same traveler shows up at our job. I believe that same traveler shows up in our vehicles, at our schools, on our cell phones, in our private moments. The Bible says in verse 4, there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. All right, so I think you already know, but just for sake of showing you from the Bible, who is this traveler? The Bible puts it this way in Job chapter 1 and verse number 6. There came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. What does Satan say to the Lord? He said, I've just been doing some traveling. Look at, you're not there, but I'll read it to you. Job chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So another time, the devil came to God, and God said, where you been? He said, I've just been doing some traveling. And folks, listen, some of you young people, you've made decisions for the Lord this year. as you've been at youth camp and you've been at youth conference, and now it's not long before some of you go back to public school, and guess who's going to be traveling the hallways of that public school? It's going to be the traveler. It's going to be the devil. Those of you that are homeschooled, guess who's going to be traveling through the living room or the bedroom or the office room where you do your schoolwork, trying to get you to cheat, trying to get you to be lazy, trying to get you to be disrespectful to your parents? It's going to be the traveler. Guess what's going to happen, guys, when you go to that break room, or girls, when you go to that break room and there's an opposite, someone of the opposite gender in that break room, and maybe you're at odds with your spouse, and guess what's going to happen? The traveler is not going to be seen, but he's going to be sitting in that break room also. You name it. You log on and you look at your list of friends, but I promise you that unmentioned friend or unmentioned foe is going to be the traveler, and he's going to be sitting right there with you, seeking to destroy your life. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Look at Ephesians chapter number 6 with me, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 6, way over in the New Testament. I'll give you a second to turn there. Ephesians chapter number 6. All right, first of all, I want to talk about the habits of the traveler. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the tricks of the devil. That's the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look up here real quick at me. Look up here. I'm just a voice. I'm not your enemy. Do I get frustrated when people miss church? Yes. Do I get frustrated when people allow their kids stay home from church? Yes. Do I get frustrated when folks go on vacation and don't go to church anywhere? Yes. Why? Because, friend, listen, we can get help from the Word of God, but you can't help someone. I'm responsible for feeding the flock of God, but I can't feed a flock that won't show up. I can't feed a flock that will show up and sleep. I can't feed a flock that shows up and is hard-hearted. But if that's you today, the devil's got you right where he wants you. I know we're not going to have 100% attendance everywhere we go, every single service. I get that. But Wednesday night, we've been talking about words to live by, and we talked about words that are bigger words in the Bible, circumspectly, and we talked about ways to walk, and somebody could have got help, but you just chose not to come to church on Wednesday night. Somebody said, well, they're busy. My response is, we're all busy. Well, they're tired. We're all tired. I get it. Some people have work on a Wednesday night or whatever. But if you're just laying at church just because, well, you're a little bit worn out and got to get up early. We have people that make it in that have to get up early. But they make it in on a Sunday night and a Wednesday night. Friend, we need to hear from heaven. Why is that? Because we're going to hear from hell all week long. The Bible says the devil walks about seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible tells us to put on that armor of God and says that above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. All right, the habits of the traveler. One day Satan's going to stop by your house. One day Satan's going to stop by your vehicle. One day Satan's going to make a stop at your job. One day Satan's going to make a stop at your school. He's not omnipresent, but he does have a lot of help. A third part of the angels fell from heaven. It's an innumerable number, the Bible says. Those are the demons that are real. They're called devils, but we call them demons. They are real, and they are very prevalent in this world today. The devil has a habit of walking about seeking whom he may devour. I get those videos from time to time that those lions that are stalking a prey, buddy, they're not running around. Like, if you've ever seen a deer in rut, man, Brother K, they're all over the place, aren't they? They come running through like, phew, and they're out of there. Man, these lions are just, you ever seen them? And they're walking and they're watching for that weak zebra, or they're watching for that weak, whatever it may be. And I'm telling you, they're not in any hurry. They're just walking about seeking whom you may devour. Travelers coming by your way, and it might be this week. It only takes once. One time that the traveler drops by your house. One bad decision. One bad day. I guess the reason we need this maybe in the middle of summer is the devil has a habit of showing up when we are at our weakest points. You say, how about some Bible? How about Jesus? When he had fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says the tempter came to him. Young people, are you listening? When your attitude stinks and you're disobeying mom and dad and you're purposely being rebellious, the devil's saying, all right, there's one right there I'm about to destroy. Are you listening? When our marriages are weak, that's when the devil's saying, there is a spouse that I can, man, I can get a hold of them this week with that lady at work or that guy at work or this person at college or whatever it may be. When our love for the Lord, our love for our church, our love for our pastor, our commitment, our involvement is at its weakest. That's why I don't, after 22 years of pastoring, most criticism just roll right off of my shoulder. Because most time it comes from the crowd who are not involved and committed and faithful, anyways, to the things of God. Why would we make ourselves, and I would say more than that, our children, our future children and grandchildren, why would we make them devil's baits? By falling for what the devil does. The lion is always looking for the weakest prey. I could tell you stories because I have been around long enough. If I go preach other places, and I don't probably preach this message other places more than any other message I've preached. If I go preach other places, I could use a gazillion illustrations. But I can't use them here because a lot of people are tied in with a lot of stuff over the years. But Brother Trent, I've listened to the crowd that will complain because you get upset because their kid wasn't at one youth rally. Well, what's wrong? One, and I've seen some of those very kids whose parents threw fits because we were given our attitude because we just wanted them to be faithful. I've seen some of those very kids walk straight out of the will of God. Thank God many of them have come back, but parents, sometimes we just don't think clearly what we're doing to our children. We may recover. We may just put them on a path that's going to take years to recover. The devil caught David in a moment of great weakness of the flesh. So, number one is the habits of the traveler. He's looking around today saying, you know what? There's somebody right there who's been questioning the Bible. There's someone right there who's been questioning what they believe. There's someone right there who's questioning their marriage. There's someone right there who's questioning this and questioning that. And there's someone there who spends too much time online. And there's someone there who their spouse doesn't know this is going on. And their parents don't know that's going on. And their preacher doesn't know this. And the devil is just walking about. He's just walking about. Looking around. But you know, a person that's faithful to church, the person that gets up tomorrow and reads their Bible and walks with God and they pray and they're more interested in something spiritual than they are in something social and they show God He is first in their life, I got to think he's going to go, let me just back off right there. Man, that man is in church and he's not just there goofing off, giving his worldly philosophies and arguing with everybody in the lunchroom about every politic and every all the craziness. Man, that man came to church today, said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That mama came to church today and said, I got a long week ahead of me. I got some kids to raise up. I've got a lot of responsibility. Man, I need to hear from heaven today. And that man got up the next day and got in his Bible and prayed and talked to God on his way to work. And man, devil says, I can't mess with that one.
Yeah.
But the crowd that still can't get this through their mind, you're going to church today? I don't know. We're going back tonight, Dad? I don't know. Hey, we're going to church Wednesday night, Mom? You know, I got some mowing to do. God kind of took that out of our way, didn't he? Well, I got to get groceries. We can't afford them anyways. Let's just come to church. We'll eat the bus church candy. The work of the traveler. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11 says, we're not ignorant of his devices. Let me give you, without going to all of these verses, let me describe for you what the devil does. What the Bible teaches us about the devil. He lies. He deceives. He steals. He kills. He destroys, he devours, he blinds, he hardens hearts, he accuses, he's a discourager, he uses people, he provokes, he tempts, he sifts as wheat. In other words, he brings out the worst in us. He buffets, he tricks, he hinders. His tool chest is huge, but you can bet his tool chest is on wheels. And he's bringing it with him. And the traveler is one day soon going to stop by your house. I'm one of those scaredy cats, man. I hear a noise and I'm wondering, is somebody coming through my door? I'll think through scenarios, you know. We have a door, an outside door now where our room is, our new addition to our house. And I think, okay, if I see a shadow there, I could see it through the glass on the door. If I see a shadow there, they need to tell me who they are immediately, because I'm not going to let my family get hurt. Now, listen to me. There's some of us in here today. There's got to be a reason God put this message on my heart 15 minutes before Sunday school started. Said, preach that. Because my heart is, God, I want to get fresh sermons. I don't want to always go back and constantly preach old stuff. And it was just like, preach that. And I'm telling you, I don't know. Maybe some young people, maybe some adults. And there's a noise and there's something kind of, there's a noise in your heart. And what it is, it's the devil. You're not listening to anyone spiritual in your life. Anyone who's trying to help you. And it's the devil, and he's saying, I remember I like to hunt, I like to bow hunt. And I have been in those trees where, Brother Cade, you've done this, and man, you want to shoot that deer, I don't care if it's a buck or a doe, but it just won't clear that tree. It's right there. I've had them before. Years ago, I had a nice, up in northern Arkansas there, nice buck, probably the biggest one I've ever shot at. And yes, there was a barbed wire fence between us, but I'm pretty sure it was the property I was hunting on still. And I mean, that thing was broadside, and I took that shot, and it just, ding! And I didn't even know what happened until I got down, and there was one broken strand of rusty barbed wire, and that deer was behind that barbed wire, and that deer lived because of that one little wire. That was frustrating. You know what the devil's doing? He's saying, keep on. Keep on with that bad attitude you have. Keep on with the rebellion against God. Keep not getting right with God. And what the devil's saying is, just take one more step. Just take one more step. Where the angel preaches that message, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. That's what the devil does. He's not in any hurry. I know he knows that he has but a short time, but the Bible says he walketh about. He's not running about. I got to destroy another marriage. I got to destroy another home. I got to take another kid down a wrong path. And friend, listen, we need to be mindful. Don't let the devil successfully use his tools on you to get an advantage on you through a so-called friend. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices. He'll get an advantage on us through social media. I was doing a study the other day, and I don't have all the facts down right now. I actually printed the pages, like 13 pages, and forgot that my printer was running out of ink, and it was like half of it wasn't even printed. But it's a study on how social media is affecting us emotionally. And I don't want to get into it today, but I'm telling you, it's a tool the devil is using to hurt a lot of people. The devil can get an advantage on us through our cell phone. The devil can get an advantage on us through our mind, imaginations. We'll look at that tonight. He can get an advantage on us through others. The Bible says we're to be wise as serpents. The serpent, old Satan. The point is this. If you know where your weaknesses are, then you know what the devil could use to destroy your life. Why do you keep hanging around in those areas? The habits of the traveler, the work of the traveler. But I want you to realize also the aftermath of the traveler. You see, the thing is, the Bible calls him a traveler. You know what that means? The traveler left. what a mess he leaves behind. And the Bible says Nathan is talking to David, and he says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken a wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house." All right, and I gave you those stories earlier about the mess that his house, his home became. And again, David said, "My sin is ever before me." Not only could he not forget it, parents, please listen to me. He was seeing the result in his kids. The devil will leave, but if we let him, he'll leave a mess. When you go over to 1 Kings 15, there's a reference there to David, and it says David, and I'm kind of paraphrasing 1 Kings 15 verses 4 and 5, and it says something like this: "And David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and served God with all his heart, and uttered all his praise, and said, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." Thank God for his saving grace. Thank God for his long suffering. Thank God for his mercy. But that was a spot. That was something that David, the rest of his life, looked back and said, "Man, I wish I would have made a better decision right there. All of this craziness in my family now, and one son chasing me out of town trying to steal my kingdom. I got children that are dead. I got a baby in a grave somewhere. Because one night the devil stopped by." And I'm going to tell you what, I'm afraid the devil this summer's been beating on some of our doors for quite a while, and we're doing nothing to resist him. The devil will mess up your testimony. The devil will mess up your purity. You young people, the devil will mess up your relationship to your parents. He'll mess up your relationship to your spouse. He'll mess up your relationship to your kids, to your pastor, to your church. Your countenance falls. Your desires change. Your priorities change. Your choices become foolish. So quickly here, how do we deal with the traveler? Well, the Bible tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Years ago, my dad tells this story, and I'm just about done. My dad tells a story. His little brother, his younger brother, was crazy. Of course, he's the one that battled drugs and all. But he still, before he got into all that, he was a good kid. Just great personality. Funny guy. Well, my mom and dad were already married. And his little brother was still probably 13, 14. Just goofy teenager. And so one day, my mom and dad were at their house there in Grand Prairie. And Shane and I were born. And so young couple with young kids. And my dad's little brother showed up to the house with an old man mask on. And he knocked in. My dad's nickname is Buster. You shouldn't call him that. I think you should call him Brother Ogdy. The reason I've been called preacher for 22 years is because when I started, I said, "Don't call me Brother Ogdy. That's my dad." And I know when he came up, people were like, "Hey, Brother Carl." I'm like, "Nah, that didn't sound right. Just call him Brother Ogdy." And you can keep calling me whatever you call me. I'm sure there are a few. Anyhow, his kid brother knocks on the door. "Oh, open the door. Open the door." Well, y'all don't tell my dad this, but he is kind of a scaredy cat. And so, "Open the door." My dad's like, "Who is it?" And he said, "Open the door." So my dad kind of cracks the door, and there's this old man face, his little brother. He has no clue that that's who it is. And he's like, I can't help you, man. I'm my wife, kids, and I can't help you. Please help me out." And my uncle stuck his foot in the door to block the door. And my dad said, "Elizabeth Ann, grab my shotgun." And his brother was like, "Buster, it's me. It's me. It's me." And he went and hid behind the hedges. And I hate to be old cliche again. The Bible says neither give place to the devil. We know when he's messing with us. We know when we're not right. We know when he's beating on our heart's door. We know when he has a foot in our door. Resist the devil and he will flee. That's run. He will flee. That's pretty powerful as a child of God. Several things the Bible teaches us here. I've got to end, but how to deal with the traveler? Submit yourself to God, number one. Submit yourself to God. We've got to yield ourselves to the Lord daily. Say, Lord, I don't want my flesh to control my life. I don't want the devil to destroy my life. I know it's just one bad choice, one bad moment. Submit yourself to God. Secondly, is just stay in the book. Stay in the book. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Next is this. Stand up to the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Next is this. Secure your heart. My son, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Protect your heart. Can I give you this? This is one thing they said about social media. Why it messes with your emotions. Because everybody looks happy and you're not happy. Or over there just got a new truck and I'm still trying to make this old truck work. Yeah. We've got to be careful. Stand up to the devil. Secure your heart. Here's another one. Stay away from weak areas. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If your phone's a weak area, less phone. If social media, you know it's getting you in trouble, why don't you just take a break from social media? Well, we take breaks from everything else in life, don't we? Young men, if it's a girl, and you know it's danger. Young ladies, if it's a guy and you know it's danger because the Spirit of God is telling you danger, why don't you get away from them? Amen. Young men, you want to live for God, but you're going to go back to school. There's going to be some punk that wants you to act like a fool in your class, that wants you to cuss, that wants to talk bad about the girls and use a conversation you shouldn't be in. Get away from them. Married people in here, you're having trouble with marriage. Get away from the feminist. Get away from the husband haters. Get away from the men that trash their wives at work. Do something to help yourself. Stay away from the weak areas. Prayer. How about prayer? Supplications. God, help me. Here's another thought. How about stay accountable to someone other than yourself? Stay accountable to someone other than yourself. I told the men a few weeks ago on the different marriage lessons, I said, one of the things to keep yourself in immorality is to make your wife aware of any threat. And some didn't understand what that was. And I said, if you're at work and you got a young lady that just seems to constantly want to be around you, don't if you're not careful, guys like to conquer. I killed the deer. Here's the picture. If you're not careful, guys, you'll start playing some emotional game with someone. You'll get yourself attached. You'll get yourself in trouble. You need to let your wife know. You know, there's this lady that, I mean, she sent me a text, or, you know, every time I'm in the break room, she shows up, and I just want to let you know, honey, I get back to my office as soon as possible, or I don't respond to texts. I want you to see this. So they sent this text to me. But hey, ladies, that goes for you too. I think we're going to start finding out one of these days what social media is doing in a lot of lives. Stay accountable to someone other than yourself. Keep making decisions for God. Keep confessing sin. Stay faithful to church. I mean, there are ways to deal with the trial. David was a good kid. We know the story of him as a child, obedient child. He was a good king. But there was that one major time of sin in his life. And it affected him for the rest of his life. He got forgiveness. He got to move forward. But never forget that statement. My sin is ever before me. I wonder how many of us say. And I tell you what. Back in 1994, I wish I had never. Back in 2001, that moment, I wish I had never. Hey, back then in 1984, I wish I had never gotten my family out of church. Back in 1995, I wish I had never. Hey, listen, let's just from this point on thank God for His grace, His mercy. Some of our sins are ever before us. Thank God when we get to heaven, that memory will be gone. But let's not leave the doors unlocked at night. Let's not live recklessly and think somehow it's going to turn out okay. Why? Because you and I are going to wake up tomorrow, and somewhere along the way, we're going to run into the traveler. Maybe you have a bad morning at home with your spouse. Guess what? That day, you are open for an attack. Maybe young people say, hey, mom and dad's not around. You get that phone out. You are open for an attack. But the Bible simply says, resist the devil. Isn't that great? He will flee from you. You've got that power if you're a child of God.